Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's good to have everybody.
Oh, that's right. You tell them, Ross Hill. How about it, Jeremy? Man, what is going on? Happy belated Memorial Day, brother.
Man, Scott, it's good to be here. No matter how many times we do this show, that intro right there, man, it gets me every time. I love it. I'm glad you put that together. I hope you had a great Memorial Day. I kept up with you on Facebook, like you had a good time. Memorial Day always a good time, man. Nothing like it. Nothing like those holidays. And in the rodeo world, you know, sometimes you don't get to celebrate those holidays, you know, being on the road and being busy and stuff. But Memorial Day was good. And, hey, I'm glad to be here on Tuesday night. What do you say we have us a
That's
little
right.
fun for an hour?
No doubt, man. Well, let's sit back and talk about it a little bit. You were out in Georgia this weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, we had a IPRA rodeo there for Southern Rodeo Company. I talk about them a lot, but Mr. Robin Brooks and Josh Brooks. We were in Hiawassee, Georgia. It's a little mountain town in northeast Georgia, right there on the North Carolina-Georgia line. So, man, way up there in the mountains, I should have took a bigger hoodie. It was a little chilly at night. Wasn't expecting that, but we had Friday night, Saturday night, and did a Sunday, actually a Sunday night perp. We didn't do a matinee. We did an 8 o'clock Sunday. And, man, all 3 days, good crowds. Crowds were sold out. We had good cowboys. Even Sunday night, man, we drew a great crowd. We bucked about 11 bulls a night. So, man, for rodeo, and especially in the southeast, we had a great rodeo. Young kid here from Alabama named Jack Bates, he won the bull ride, and he was 86 on a man, just a great, great bull. They went a lot of money on. Jack's been going to some pro rodeos. He bought his permit. He's won some money in the Southeast Circuit. But, man, proud of that kid. He comes from a line of rodeo family. And to see him come in there and get that win, that was pretty cool. It was some pretty good money added. I never saw what he won, but it was a pretty good check. They rode three bulls all weekend. And so he took the lion's share of that purse. And I was proud to see Jack get that win. That's going to move him up the standing some.
Good deal, man. Well, yeah, I got to tell you, it was a good weekend for me. Of course, I was off from the rodeo circuit this weekend. I did go Thursday night to the Cowtown Classic showcase that they have down here, the PBR, which was pretty good, and they have some great bullfighters down there. Man, it was pretty cool. I actually ran into Noah Krebs and was able to talk with him a bit, man, and I think we might be able to get him on the show here in just a little bit, man. I'm hoping that he'll call us in and talk a little bit about what he's up to, but man, it's cool to run into him. It was a great time and good bull riding. They did a doubleheader and you know, the bull riders were aching, man. Daniel Keeping was there. I think he ended up winning second or third. Had a really good night out, and you know, we talked after the event. He was telling me how, man, you know, this is like his backyard, and he grew up, you know, coming out here to Cowtown Coliseum, and to be able to win money down here is always a good time for him.
Hey, it just shows, man, the stockyards never slow down. I mean, PBR finals just wrapped up, you know, 2 weekends ago, basically now. But
I know it.
You know, as soon as it's over, hey, we're right back to the grind and right back to doing that Thursday night, you know, PBR there. So it's always such a rodeo town there at Fort Worth, and glad to see that, because, man, that's what we need. We need that solid place that, you know, guys can always go to, and Fort Worth's built around that. But it's cool to see that no matter what, even if it's Memorial Day holidays or whatever, you know, hey, they're not taking any time off. They're putting that money up, and they're giving those guys a chance to go. So pretty cool, and you said it best, man, Noah Krebs. I was glad to see him there fighting that deal, and hopefully we can get him to call in. We're working on that right now. So if we can get him to call in here in a little bit, it'd be cool to catch up with him. Noah, guy that, you know, had been around Ross a lot too, so it'd be cool to turn this back into a Ross Hill moment, hear what Noah had to say about Ross, but also kind of, you know, fill out his bullfighting career Noah's a guy that, man, for a long time was with Evan Allard. And, you know, Evan took him under his wing, and he was part of that Hook and A team is what they used to call it. But Evan and Blake Miller and obviously Noah, and then there was a few more, Garrett Wilkerson over the years. But, you know, those guys were kind of part of Evan's team, and Evan took them under his wing. And Evan and Ross and that whole original bullfighting crew, just some of the OGs of bullfighting, you know. But Noah,
That's a good guy.
Did see him there at Fort Worth fighting. Also saw a kid named Kobe Ruff there. Caught some videos from Thursday night. I couldn't ever tell who the third guy was. I never got enough videos that I could see the third guy. But Kobe Ruff, the kid that we watched at the UBF, and he's been to a lot of BFO bullfights too. Kid's really making a name for himself in the freestyle world. But it's cool to see him getting in those PBRs and those velocities. Getting his name in there, because that's what you have to do to move up that ladder and hopefully, you know, get into some of those bigger bullfights and into some of those bigger, you know, bull rides that you get to work. So, man, just a cool place. And that Thursday night deal, if anybody's listening, you're out there in Fort Worth on a Thursday night, go check it out, because they get good bull riders. I noticed that when I was there. You know, it was some good names that are passing through.
Esne Caminos, Daniel Keeping. Yeah, a lot of the PBR guys pop in down here to get some good practice. Yeah. They need to get on bulls, and, you know, I mean, that's the only way you're going to stay healthy, you're going to stay active on it, is to be out there riding. And this is a good place to go win a little money and do it, you know. HD Page brought the bulls down this week.
Yeah. Man, on that Thursday night deal, they told me when I was there they were adding 10,000 a Thursday night. I mean, it's 10,000 added. Man, if a guy goes in there and HD Page brings the bulls and you're the only guy to ride one, man, that is a chunk of money in your pocket, you know.
Yes, sir.
The only thing I did hear about that Thursday night, me and Frank were talking about this, the money won there is not going to count for velocity standings. And so that's one thing I think was kind of keeping some guys from coming, but at the same time, it's a good place to go get them a check. So
absolutely.
Maybe they can straighten that rule out, get that kind of – ironed out, figure out what the details of that could be. But man, it'd be cool to see a guy go get some big checks.
No doubt, man. Well, I'll tell you, while we got a second, man, let's throw out the number just in case anybody tuning in wants to give us a call and talk a little bit of rodeo. We can actually do that. That's 563-999-3501. 563-999-3501. If you want to give us a call, we'll sit back and talk some bull riding and rodeo with you. Man, that's what we do here on a Tuesday night, right, Jeremy?
That's it, man. You know, we've went a few weeks without having anybody call, because, man, it's been so much going on. We've just kind of set the calls up. But, you know, if anybody out there listening, you want to give us a call, like I said, we would love to talk to you. We'd love to have any questions or, you know, anything you want to add to the show, call in and tell us.
That's
call in and talk to us, 563-999-3501. That's us. So if you call in, we'd love to have you. So anybody listening, like you said, Scott, we'll gladly take some phone calls. We kind of forget about pushing that number and kind of pushing for our callers, because here lately it's been fun and we've been able to just roll.
Right.
But, yeah, this was part of the show. We wanted it to be an open book. So anybody did call in, you keep me updated on that. But if we have any callers, man, we'll be glad to take them tonight.
Yeah, you betcha, man. And it's always good. You know, of course, we love hearing stories about Ross Hill. And you know, this is the Ross Hill Memorial Hour, man. This is a good time to sit back and actually talk about bullfighting and Ross Hill and how his impact on the sport was, man. Of course, you and I have a ton of stories we could talk about, just haven't been able to been around that guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. So many. And there's so many good stories out there that you don't know, because there's so many people from around the country that when you get around them and they go, man, let me tell you about this story. Man, some of the coolest stories, when we had the Ross Hill Memorial Bullfight here, we had Bullfest, you know, Dan and Steph Newman came down, and they're from Washington State. And Ross met him when he was out there working those West Coast deals. He got to be friends with Dan. Dan fights bulls really good. He's older. Dan's probably in his 40s now. But him and Ross hit it off, and then Steph Newman, man, they're so cool, Pacific Northwesterners, but, man, just so cool to be around. They were so much fun. But, you know, you start telling your stories about Ross, and they go, well, let me tell you what he did to us, you know. And and the thing that's so cool with Steph, she videos everything, you know, always, which sometimes we talk about the phone, you know, man, I wish people wouldn't on their phones all the time. But then times like this, you love it because she videoed everything that Ross ever did when he was around her. And she had so many cool, you know, she could tell a story and say, you're not going to believe this. And then as she's telling that story, she'd pull a video up. Say, here it is right here. Watch him. Watch what he does, you know. And it was so many cool moments that had you not ever been around Steph, you never would have heard those stories. You know, and she had, you know, and honestly, not that you would never believe anybody, because any story you hear about Ross, you believe it. You know that he would have done it. But she had the video to back it up, you know, and just right there to show that story. And I was like, please, whatever you do, never, ever delete these videos. You know, like keep these things going. Just so cool to see that. And like you said, it's people from all over this country that have those same stories about our friend and, you know, and Ross. So just cool. Just kind of throwing that out there. I know that was a little side note, but. You know, I might work on that,
though,
man.
Go ahead. That's how this whole thing got started back up, Jeremy, was the fact that, you know, talking to Webster, and we were talking about those memories, and he's like, man, I wish we could get some of those memories back from when he was doing his radio shows. And I was able to dig a little deep through Blog Talk Radio, and now we air those suckers right there on Live 365 on, you know, Monday through Friday, man. We'll throw those out there at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, it's cool to share, you know, go back and reflect on some of those memories. And, man, I can tell you, man, the time that I traveled with Ross to Texas, we were supposed to split a hotel room. We didn't even stay in the same hotel room together. He was so mad at me that night. We ended up going out to a bar. And, you know, I had never had the joke played on me. You ever had the deal where you're out there and the guy's like, man, I like your boots. Let me see them. So you pull up your pant leg and they drop a beard down your boot. Then you're walking around all night with a wet boot. Yeah, well, Ross did that to me. And I was a little embarrassed, man. I had never had that happen to me before. So so I took his new shirt and poured beer down the back of it.
Wow.
He got so mad at me. We didn't even end up staying in the same hotel room that night. We met up the next morning at the truck.
There was plenty of times we didn't stay in the same room either because I was so mad I was ready to kill him. So I was ready to go find somewhere else to sleep also. So. Trust me,
I know
your pain.
That's right, man. It was something else.
You know, you look back though, you'd love to have them. You'd love to have them moments all over again. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you betcha, man. So, what else is going on, man? Where are you heading this next weekend?
So, man, this weekend we'll go to we'll stay with the Southern Rodeo crew. We're going to be right back. They doing back to back week. Like I said, Hiawassee went great for them, and that rodeo there actually was the new IPRA rodeo of the year last year. So a great rodeo. I can't say enough good things about Robin Brooks and Josh Brooks. Josh is a little bit older than me, but he is, man, in the world of rodeo, is a great pickup man. His dad was a great pickup man. They do a great, great job with rodeos. They take pride in what they do. They hire good people. David Sharp was announced in that deal. David's one of the head guys with Wrangler. Used to do a lot with the Extreme Bulls. He's helped produce the NFR. David Sharp, just a super mind in the world of rodeo. We talked about him last week, Dusty Myers. Dusty was clowning. So you had him there, and he does such a great job. But we'll roll on, man. We'll go to Shady Dell with that same crew. Dusty's not going to be there. He's going to Cherokee, Iowa. To a PRCA, and he's kicking off his summer run, so he's not going to be with us, but we'll have Colt 45 there. So, once again, another great Georgia clown, and that Shady Dell Rodeo, it's in the middle of nowhere, man. I tell you, you pull up to this place, you would not think that 10 people live in this town, but it's cool. It's,
really?
Like the Elks Lodge or the Shriners or whatever, I can't remember exactly which organization it is, but one of those is kind of the ones that put that on. But you pull up, it's a permanent arena. It doesn't have bucket shoots. They had to bring that part in, but it's, you know, huge grandstand bleachers and all this. And you're looking at it, you're like, man, where are these people going to come from? But no kidding, man, at 7 o'clock, hey, there won't be a seat in that place both nights.
Nice.
It's one of the coolest rodeos I do all year. So cool. Such a great, great place to be. And I think it's like 2,500 added, so I know that's not a ton for a PRCA rodeo, but for the IRA, that's a good rodeo.
Right.
And so we'll get good bull riders, and we should get good numbers. You know, hey, if we can buck some bulls, that makes my job fun. And I've got a great guy that I fight bulls with there, a kid named Ben West. Ben's 24. That kid's so hungry for it. I look like the old man over there now. You know, I got the young pup out there just tearing them up, and I'm trying to keep up with him now. So proud for him. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, man, it sounds like it. So let me ask you, how hard is it for you to step into those cleats and then back out into the announcer stand?
Man, it's not bad.
And going back and forth like that, those rodeos.
It's not bad. Like these two right here, you know, David Sharp will be announcing. I won't have anything to do with that. I really now pay attention to what he does. I try to soak in everything I can about the rodeo on the production side. You know, David's announcing horseback, or if he's in an announcer stand or wherever he's at, like, you just try to watch those guys. You watch what they do. You know, I don't have necessarily a role in announcing anything when I work for them. When I go to those bull fights now, that's different. That's always been cool. And we've done a few where I fight bulls and kind of help co-announce at bull riding, and that is a different deal, man. You're so wired up for fighting bulls, and you're in that moment, and then all of a sudden they throw a microphone in your hand, and you're back to I hate to say that, it's not like you're not professional 24/7, but you go from your attitude is like a gladiator, and I'm stepping in here, I'm gonna take this bull by the horns, and we're gonna you know, do our job, protection, or even if we're gonna fight him after, whatever. And then all of a sudden, here's a microphone, and you've got to go, all right, back to announcer mode, you know, and it's like, let's talk about the matchup, you know. That is a little different. Luckily, I feel like I'm able to handle that pretty easily. I feel like it doesn't bother me. I can kind of go back between both. Because, man, I fought bulls for so long that you watch a lot of these young guys, and, man, they're like, you know, I make fun of these kids for this, but, like, you look before the rodeo and they're drinking energy drinks, and they've got, like, the C4 powder out, the pre-workout, and they're taking pre-workout.
Uh-huh.
They're doing all this stuff, and I'm like, what do you need that for? And they're like, I got to get hyped up. And I'm going, we're fixing to fight bulls. Like, why do you need to be hyped up? Like, I mean, you know, I've just done it so long. It's like flipping a switch. I can run that whole rodeo and just kind of be like laid back and we're cool. But man, when they start the team roping and they start rolling the barrels out, you know, it's the end of the rodeo. It's about your turn. There's no way around it. Like, man, it just kicks in, and you've done it for so long. Your body just knows what's coming, and you just automatically within 30 seconds, man, I can just be, you know, bam, ready to go. And you're focused on your job. You know what you got to do. It's just like another day in the office. And I hate to make that sound easy, but I think that's the experience part. And that comes from doing this for over 10 years. And you know, you still get, don't get me wrong, man, even before the rodeos, like you're pumped, you're so excited to be there. And it has never felt like a job. It's never once when I stepped in the arena, it's never been like, oh, I got to go do my job. It's time to go do my job, you know. No, it's like, hey, I get to fight bulls tonight. You know, you're so happy to be there, but at the same time, it's kind of like repetition. You know, when you get there, you know what you got to do. You do your job during the rodeo, but then whenever it comes time for the bull riding, hey, everything else in this world leaves. The outside distractions leave. Nothing that's going on at home's in my mind. Nothing that's going on in the world's in my mind. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about yesterday. I'm just worried about that next 30 minutes point in my life that I get to do what's made me the happiest for those 30 minutes. You know, that's why we love bull riding, because, man, you get 2 hours of that feeling. But at least at a rodeo, even that 30 minutes of it, the whole world disappears. And, you know, you don't worry about what am I going to do tomorrow? What do I got to do this week? What's my job schedule look like? You know, what's these people thinking about me over here, over there? I mean, the whole world just shuts down, and you're 100% focused on fighting bulls. And I hope I never lose that feeling. But if that feeling ever even remotely goes away, that's when you know it's time to step away from the game. And man, I'm still, you know, I still crave it. I still sit there and shake before it's time to go, because you're so anxious to get in that arena at that point, you know. And I know that sounds crazy, because a lot of people don't understand it. They've never found that passion. They've never found that drive that makes them that happy. But it's just like with me right now, I get to fight bulls with Ben, and Ben just got approved for his permit, the PRCA. Kid trains with Matt Baldwin all the time, so trust me, like he looks just like Matt Baldwin fighting bulls. He's long, and he can step around them so easy. But I look back, and I get it because I was that
right.
kid one time. I was that
sure.
kid with Ross, you know, and yeah. I hate to always think about it that way, but, you know, Ross was older than me. Ross was 6 years older than me. So when we went somewhere,
uh-huh.
He was 8 years older than me. I'm sorry, correct myself. But when we went, he was the veteran. You know, he had been there
yeah.
and done it, and he's over there spinning cotton candy, you know, getting ready to he's selling cotton candy, and I'm over here about to throw up because, you know, we've got a bull ride, and you were so anxious all week about that bull ride that, you know, you're finally getting your opportunity. You're finally getting to go. And, you know, and like for Ross, it was just another job. It was just another day at the office.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gotten to that point. You know, I have gotten to where when I show up now and I look at it and, like, you know, being there with me, when he steps in the arena, you can tell it. You know, he's just so – he's still looking at the bright light, but he's so good at what he
yeah.
does. And I look back, and I'm just like, I want to tell him every time, enjoy the moment, because you don't know
right.
how fast that moment's going to go by. Because I sit
yeah.
here, and I go, he's 24. And I go, I remember being 24. You know, and it's,
right.
I hate to age myself, but it feels like yesterday, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think back, and I go, at times it feels like it was so long ago, but then you really look, and you go, man, that's like, feels like yesterday, you know, and that's what I tell
yeah.
him. I'm like, everything you can do, do it. If
yeah.
you can soak it in, you can go do it, experience it, because it don't last forever. You know, we can't fight bulls forever,
right.
but, and you never know when that last day might come. So
yep.
I'm grateful for every opportunity I get. And every time I can step in that arena, I'm pumped. I'm so happy to be there. And you always want to do your job. And as long as those guys those bull riders walk up and they shake your hand and they go, man, I'm glad to see you here. You know, that tells me
yeah.
they still know you can do your job and they're still happy
you
to see you. So man,
yep, that's
a cool
right.
feeling. Never want that feeling to go away, Scott.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, speaking of guys that might know a thing or two about that same feeling, I think we've actually got one on the line, man. What do you say we bring him on down here?
Yeah, let's see who we got.
Noah, are you with us?
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, man, what's going on tonight?
Oh, just relaxing, a little bit of laundry, a little bit of jeans starching, getting ready to hit the road tomorrow.
I hear you. Hey, no, it's Jeremy Cohen. I'm glad to see you join us. I appreciate you jumping on here with us. And, man, let's talk a little bullfighting for a little bit. It's cool to have you. This is like we've been calling this the Ross Hill Memorial Hour, and you're a good guest to have. So, man, we're proud to have you on here with us.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me. I'm proud to be here and be doing it with you guys. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So, hey, Scott said he saw you Thursday night there at Fort Worth. I went and watched some videos from the PBR. I saw you there. It was you and Kobe Ruff. And who was the third guy? I didn't ever get
to... He was his name's Jonathan Austin.
Okay.
Somewhere around Chelsea, I think, Oklahoma.
Okay.
So that was the first time I'd met him, too.
Yeah. I just I could never even see a good video of catching his face. I didn't know who it was, but – I saw you and Kobe, met Kobe there at Swainsboro, the first time I got to meet that kid. I say kid, heck, young man, whatever you want to call him. But he was, man, freestyling-wise, you know, watched him there. But he looked like he was on point with his protection also. And you are, man, you've always done a great job with protection. Me and Scott talked about it last week. He was talking about, you know, Noah Krebs. And I said, well, man, Noah's actually, he's fought a lot of bull riding with one of my good friends, Jimmy Estery. So, man, you know, Noah, we've known each other for years, but never have got to just work a bull riding together. But I feel like we know each other really well. So, you know, congrats on getting in those PBRs. I'm proud for you there. But, you know, hopefully that's not the last one. Hopefully you can keep those things going. And I'd love to see you get in there and get on some of those big bull ridings.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, that's the goal for sure, just one thing at a time. You know, I try not to look too far ahead and or, you know, get ahead of myself and just kind of take in the moments when they come and enjoy every bit of them that I can. So, obviously a goal, is set, and I try to keep the bar set pretty high for myself, but I try not to get,
Yeah, no doubt. When did you get approved? When did you get your PRCA card? What year was that?
I got my PRCA card, I want to say, I think it was either 19 or 20. I think 19.
Yeah.
This would be, I guess it would be 19 because this is year four.
Yeah. I was thinking we were about the same time on getting approved on everything because I think I got mine in 19 also. You know, you go through that process, and I know you do a lot for Klein Hall on his pro rodeos. I know you did a good bit with him getting started. You're kind of right there from Arkansas with him. Who else do you kind of work for PRCA-wise? Just kind of talk to us about what rodeos you have there and, you know, what you get to go do protection-wise.
Oh, the biggest majority of what I've done as far as PRCA has been with Klein Hall and Generations Pro Rodeo. Last year I was fortunate enough, I booked Burwell, Nebraska for Benny. And I've got it again this year and then ended up booking Coffeyville, Kansas last year as well. And then this year I just, where I'm actually headed tomorrow, I'm headed to CrossFit Arkansas, Pete Carr.
Okay.
They gave me a ring. And so this would be my first rodeo with them. I'm super excited about that. Hopefully I can go down there and do a good job for them and maybe get some more.
Pete Carr's got some great stock, man, and he only brings the best in there to work his show. So congratulations on that. That's a good deal.
I appreciate it. I love watching his rodeos, and you know, some or all of the greats have, you know, been through there and you know, done the deal with him. So I feel like it's just another step in the right direction, and hopefully I can capitalize on it, you know?
Yep.
What was it like showing up to Burwell and knowing you had one for Benny?
Burwell was wild. It was intense. I'm not going to lie. People had kind of, you know, told me about Burwell, and, of course, I've heard all the stories from, you know, Evan Allard and the guys, and so I was like, oh, yeah, and I knew a little bit of what to expect, and I showed up and was like, wow, this is crazy. And then,
yeah.
You know, we got the bull riding time, and they put that cage up, took those sledgehammers and set that pin up and drove those nails into the ground, and it was just a totally, totally different atmosphere than I've been around.
I've saw those videos from there, and it's so cool looking. God, it's so cool looking.
It was crazy cool. It was a totally different experience. And I loved it. And then, obviously, the rodeo was outstanding, and you know, being able to say that I made it through Burwell was cool. But you know, there's so much history there in their rodeo.
Oh yeah,
like you go down to the Northside Bar and Grill there downtown, and scan, and there's just pictures, like old pictures of, you know, Rex Dunn freestyling one or getting around one or jumping one off the barrel or making a save, and Frank Newsom doing the same, and just all the guys that I've, you know, idolized coming up from the word go, just knowing that they've been in that same dirt, and that I'm kind of getting to follow behind them. Super cool.
Let me ask you something though. How did you get started in bullfighting, man? What made you want to become a bullfighter?
I kind of happened into it, to be honest with you. I don't really come from a rodeo family, but my brother, which we had different dads, he rode bulls. And so I got to be around rodeo a little bit before he went to college when he was high school rodeoing.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I want to be a bull rider like Big Brother, of course, but that wasn't going to happen with parents. And so we were just at a practice pen one day, and my brother just took me, and we were just both kind of hanging out and this, that, and the other, and they ended up needing a bullfighter, and so my brother hopped in there just to kind of help him out, and ended up getting in a bind, and I guess brotherly love or whatever, I don't know, he was about to be in a bad way. I just, before I could even think, jumped off the fence and picked this bull off of him and kind of made a couple rounds with him, and had no idea what I was doing, but everybody was like, whoa,
Have you ever thought about doing this? And I was like, well, no, not really. But
so, who was the first guy? Who's the first guy you met in rodeo, like as far as bullfighting goes, that really kind of got you into it?
Evan Allard.
Definitely one of the
Evan
best.
Evan Allard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd there for probably a year or so. I fought like some little family rodeo deals and stuff like that, and really, really, you know, was loving fighting bulls. And so my parents were like, well, if you're going to do it, you need to learn how to do it right. And so they sent me to Evan's school in Hugo, Oklahoma at Rich's place in 2006. It that had been October of 16. And the next thing I know, a month later, I'm getting a call, hey, you want to go to Vegas in a couple weeks, from Evan. And he ended up picking me up for his team Hook and A Ranch and took me to Vegas for the first time. I wasn't even 18 yet. And he's had my back from the get-go and kind of steered me in the right direction and me in the butt when I needed it also, you know. So he's definitely
– You really couldn't ask for a better mentor, though. That's a good one to have in your corner. And I remember you talking about some of those stories, too, you know, just with Evan taking you out there and kind of taking you under his wing. But to have a guy like Evan Allard who, man, he had bulls that, you know, had his own set of fighting bulls that he got from Rex, and he was raising fighting bulls, so – to have a guy that you went to his school and then obviously saw the potential to keep you and want to have you on his team and have you in his corner and use you to, you know, to obviously be a part of what he wanted to create, you know. And if he didn't see potential in you, you know, somebody like Evan would have never done that. So it shows, God, it shows me from an early age exactly what, you know, what Noah had in him. And that's that drive and that skill that it takes to be an elite bullfighter. And,
sure.
You know, hey, from the word go, even in those early Hook and A team days, you know, I remember just seeing the talent, seeing the potential, and we've watched you have some great, great bullfights. So, Noah, you know, congrats on all that, and especially being a part of Evan. It's so cool to have a guy like Evan that you can give a phone call to, because, man, you can talk to us about it too, but, you know, his knowledge of rodeo and his knowledge of fighting bulls, it's unlike any other.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, what started out as kind of a mentorship has turned into, you know, a really special friendship, between the two of us. And, you know, we've always been a phone call away, but I you know, I consider him one of my best friends and also family. That he, man, he's really taken care of me over the years. He didn't have to do everything that he did, you know, but he did it anyway and tried to go above and beyond for all of us guys, you know, that he took under his wing. And he's a pretty special guy. He loves bullfighting and rodeo, I think probably more than anybody I know, you know.
Yeah.
And just
I'd love to know just how many fighting bulls that dude is squared up to.
Oh, there's no telling.
Yeah.
Well,
without a doubt, I mean,
he's raised
some of the greatest fighting bulls. That's what a lot of people don't get, you know.
Hey, Noah, did he ever take you up in his plane?
No, I haven't been in the plane. I'm scared to death of flying.
You'll jump in an arena.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't do planes.
That's
but
funny.
Sometimes I have to, but I try to stay away from them.
Right. I hear you, man. I hear you. So what is life like for Noah, like, during the week, man? What do you do on your days off?
Man, on my days off, really, truthfully, just trying to recuperate and train, you know, make sure I've got all my stuff right coming off the road, getting ready to go back on the road, and then be sure that I'm, you know, working hard outside of the arena and training, watching
sure.
video, just preparing mentally and physically and eating right. Just taking every little step that I can to make to make things.
Whose videos do you usually watch? Do you usually watch your own videos to kind of critique, or do you watch other guys' videos to kind of learn from?
Both.
Both?
Both. I do like to watch my videos and critique myself and, you know, find a little bit of good and find the bad and stuff like that and build on that. But I also really like watching everybody else's videos, like Webs or Harps or highlight videos or old NFR videos. I've got a burn DVD of like the original Wrangler bullfight, a couple of years of the original Wrangler bullfight. So I really, really like watching those. And then Evan, a cool little deal. Evan actually sold me his old camper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was in it fooling around one day and turned the TV and the DVD player on in the living room and was like, you know, I wonder if anything's in here. Well, the first thing that pops up is a burned DVD, and it's like 2.5 hours of nothing but Evan and Webb freestyling. It's 2.5 hours of him and Webb. Like, it'll be a video Evan, a video Webb, back and forth from, like, Ada and Salinas and all that.
Talk about a gem, man. That's a steal right there.
Oh, yeah. I sent him a video. I said, man, I really hope you don't want this back. And he said, no way. I got to have that back. I said, well, you best believe I'm making a copy.
That's right.
That's video gold.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. I'd like to check that out. That'd be a lot of fun to sit around and watch. Absolutely. What made you decide to, I mean, did you start in protection or did you start more freestyle or did you start them both at the same time?
Well, I guess you could say protection. I just did protection with those family rodeos and stuff. But to be honest, after I got hooked up with Evan, it was pretty heavy freestyle for a pretty long time. And you know, Jeremy was talking about Klein Hall. Klein Hall kind of took me in, too, right out of high school, and I got to fighting. Back then, it was before he had his pro card, too. He had a bunch of ACA and IPRA rodeos here, you know, within an hour and a half to, you know, 3 hours from the house. So I fought all his stuff for several years.
Okay.
Because of that, I got a pretty good combination, but it was, I would say it was mainly freestyle for several years there. And I've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. And, you know, with having a PBR card and a PRCA card, those are kind of my two main focuses now, but I still like to go freestyling.
Yeah. What's your favorite move to do, like, with a bull when you have the opportunity to get out there?
I like to walk around him.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. If I get a chance and I can drag a toe and walk a little bit or maybe throw a classic Evan Allard reverse and walk out of it, that's my favorite. And I just,
you know, you just said it best. So Evan had that smooth style, and it was so much like Rex Dunn, and obviously because he was such a Rex Dunn mentor, he could make the bad ones look so easy. And I know he was big, he was long, he could make those long baggies and just drag a toe around them bulls. But, you know, Evan had a style of his own, and it was so cool to watch him fight bulls. He could do his back fakes and just anything that he really did. You know, I hate to see Evan retire, but, man, his style is unlike any other. So close to a Rex Dunn to watch him fight, but I loved watching Evan Allard freestyle. Like, it was cool, and he admits it. You know, that was his specialty. He didn't even get his pro card till late in his career because he made so much money freestyling. It's crazy how his career unfolded.
No doubt, and he had that quick little step through to that nice back step where he drug that toe all the way around, arches back, and just didn't follow through all the way. I've been trying to copy that move for.
Yeah,
forever.
It's so cool, but you know, it was just like that was Evan. That's what he could pull off. He knew it. He knew exactly where his body was at all times, and he knew exactly how to keep them bulls right where he wanted them at all times. So, you know, Evan Allard, we haven't talked a whole lot about Evan on here. We had Webb on the first show, but just from listening to podcasts that Evan's done in the past, man, he's such a cool guy. You hear him talk about stuff. I mean, that guy just lives, breathes freestyle bullfighting like we all love. And Ray, I kind of hit at it earlier. We didn't really get to it, but heck, he raised some of the baddest fighting bulls that we've ever seen. You know, the Spaniard came from him, and all these great bulls that his breeding program created. I mean, Evan is a nobody really gets it, but Evan is a huge, huge part of the freestyle bullfighting world being what it is today.
Well, the first BFO session was at his house.
Yeah.
Was at Evan's house.
Yeah, when they blew the barrel up in the hay field and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep, the very first BFO session was, I mean, he was one of the pioneers that brought it back, you know. And, man, he's a legend. That's just all there is to it. The guy's a legend.
Well, you know, you kind of got your own style yourself. I've always enjoyed watching you freestyle, man. It's always been cool. And here lately, it's been cool that I've got to be on the mic at two bullfights you've been at, and I got to call them. And I want to be honest, man, we're friends, but I'm also a fan, if that makes sense. And I've always wanted to see you do good. I've always wanted to see you succeed because I felt like we did have a lot in common. You know, a lot of the same friends, a lot of the same buddies. And, you know, you want to see the good guys. You want to see the good guys on top. But, you know, you do have that style that's your style. You know, Noah Krebs' style. But who is – I know obviously Evan, but who is some other guys that when you do think about freestyle bullfighting, even if it's the old generation, that you really have modeled yourself after? I mean, I know you talk about Webb watching and stuff, but, you know, what's the style that you learned from?
Man, I don't know. I really, really molded it around Evan.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of always been cool.
There's probably a little bit of the Sparks brothers in there, too.
Yeah. I was just going to say that it's a lot of – when I watch you fight bulls, it's a lot like the old school. And it's like – you just said it best. But the Sparks brothers, like a Greg Groomer, it's quick fakes, it's quick hits, and then you'll let them get right to you and jab them hard, and you can just step back through them. You know, it's I'm not knocking you. It's not this just smooth as can be, smooth as butter. Like, you hit them bulls hard. You let them get right there, and then you just jab them, you know. And I've always respected that of you because that's something that not many guys have the guts to do. And when you're on your game, and we know freestyle bullfighting is such a mental game, but when Noah Krebs is there and Noah's the Noah we know shows up, man, you're a hard guy to beat, and it was so cool to see you get into that Saturday short round the other night. But just keep digging, man, because I'm be honest, man, like I said, I'm a friend, but I'm also a fan, and I love seeing you on top, and we want to keep you there. So whatever it takes, you keep doing it.
Man, I appreciate it. That means a lot. And you know, right back at you, I'm hoping that we get together and do some more other than just hang out and talk and swap swords and stuff like that. I hope we get to fight bulls together soon.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. What
and
know,
on
obviously
the,
this is
on
Raw
the Sparks
Steel Hour. We do what now?
I was saying on the just to put a cap on the deal with the Sparks brothers, and you were talking about that quick jab and whatever else. One thing that I really, really like studied a lot about them is how long them boys can get and how quick and snappy they shut it down and reel it in with their direction changes, pace and stuff like that. And I would say that's probably where I got the quick jab and the snappiness or waiting on them bulls from. It would be that.
Definitely two good ones to mold it after.
Uh-oh. We had a break in silence there, man. So, Noah, let me ask you something. Who do you see yourself being? I mean, like as far as goals that you want to accomplish, man, you want to be like world champion bullfighter? You want to win the world? I mean, what are your goals? Or do you just want to be out there in the arena digging every night?
I just want to be I just want to be as great as I can be every time. I just want to be as great as I can possibly be every time. You know,
that's a great goal.
I would love to be and you know, strive to make it to the PBR World Finals and to make it to the NFR or you know, maybe win the UBF, you know, be number one in the UBF or something like that. But ultimately, I just want to be as great as I can be every time that I put the cleats on, you know.
I always tell
and wherever
man,
that
they,
takes
they
me
and
whatever
that
may be.
Yeah. We always want to be remembered. That's how I feel, you know. I dang sure don't want to quit this game one day and people go, I don't remember who he was, you know.
Right.
Nobody will ever forget an Evan Allard. Nobody will ever forget a Cody Webster. Nobody will ever forget a Ross Hill. And if we can end our careers when that day does come and people still talk about us 5-10 years later, you know you did your job. And, no, I don't
Absolutely.
Think you got anything to worry about. And you do your best every time you step out there. And, you know, end of the day, you'll be remembered also. So you've put your name in the history books without a doubt. So don't worry about that, man. I think it's safe to say you'll be good when that day comes.
Well,
sure.
I appreciate that. You know, fingers crossed, but fingers crossed. I'm just trying to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, for sure, man. So let me ask you this. Tell us a funny story about Evan Allard, man. I know you got him when you were working with him. Give us a funny story, because I'm going to have Evan back on our show. 10 years ago when we were doing this, Evan was on my show. So we're going to have him back on here as a guest. So I got to hear from you, man. Give me a funny story about him.
Oh, man.
I don't really know how to pick one, to be honest with you. The guy in the arena, he looks so serious and so focused and so calm and collected and stuff like that. But outside of the arena, I don't think he has a serious bone in his body sometimes. You know, he's just a
– Right.
He's a prankster. He's a prankster from way back. It was like that first year that he took us to Vegas. We were rolling through. I can't even remember where, but I was sitting in the back seat. He was in the passenger seat, and these big, big, long straight stretches. And we were rolling past this semi. This old Indian guy was driving. We got right up on him, gonna pass him, and Evan's looking out the window, and he's waving him down, and he goes to moving his arms around like a. signaling at a tire and pointing at the back of the trailer and then making his hands go boom and this, that, and the other and just kind of freaking out. Next thing I know, this Indian guy, he's real nervous and he slams on them brakes and jerks it over to the side of the road and looking in the rearview mirror, he was out of that truck quick now. Just messing with people all the time. The sucker, this year we went to Los Fresnos, he had a fake rattlesnake in his bag that he'd acquired at Fort Worth. We spent the entire weekend at Los Fresnos. He was putting it by the door, or hanging it from the ceiling, or throwing it at people when they walk in, or clipping it on their belt loop. And it didn't matter if they jumped 9 foot in the air, or they laughed, or they got mad, or didn't do anything. It didn't matter. He laughed every stinking time. He just lives to prank and joke around.
Yeah,
guys,
well, there's
notch.
A whole bunch of them between him and Cody Webster and Ross Hill. You know, the practical jokes, man, they just never quit, you know?
Oh, yeah. You get him on the show, you'll have to ask him about him acting deaf at a restaurant.
Acting deaf at a restaurant?
Oh, yeah, he'll get to a restaurant and go to acting deaf at the waitress sometimes. Yeah, later on.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He'll go.
I can only imagine that.
Oh, he's a mess.
Right. Well, we sure appreciate you having taken the time out here to jump on the show with us. We still got about 10 minutes left, man, and we're happy to talk about it. Jeremy, what do you got for this guy, man? You can learn so much from a guy as talented as Noah, and I know I learned just watching him in the arena. The other night, he had so much at stake and having to step in there just to make the final round, you know, and be able to get back there to watch you actually do it there on that Friday night at the UBF was fantastic, man. It was cool to watch you move around that bull.
And I appreciate it. I kind of went into that event with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, you know. And
right.
I had to prove to myself that I still had it, and you know, it was time to buck up and grit my teeth and get after it. So, I was happy to get done what I got done. I wish I could have gotten more done, but you know, ultimately with kind of the how things have been going as far as freestyle for me, I was pleased.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked about that last week. We were talking about having you on here, and man, last week we talked about it, and that's what kind of brought up the conversation to try to get you on, you know. I said, yeah, man, I'd love to have Noah on the show. But I said that. We were talking about what all had happened, and I told him, I said, you know, I just watched him at Swainsboro. You had a solid bullfight at Swainsboro, but it just wasn't enough. And I told Scott that. I said, look, it wasn't anything Noah did wrong. I said, but it just wasn't the Noah that I've watched, you know. And I could tell it was a mental deal. You're battling that mental game, and you're trying to do better. But a lot of times when you start battling your head, it just makes things get worse. And I was so happy to see that when you got to Fort Worth, you cleared your head. You did what you had to do. Hey, and you fixed the problem, you know, because now the next bullfight you go to, you're right back on top. And that's the Noah Kreps we know. That's the Noah Kreps we're used to seeing. And that's the Noah Kreps that we're always going to remember. So, man, it was I'm glad to see that everything went good there. And hopefully you keep that ball rolling, keep that momentum going. I want to see you do great at all your rodeos this summer, too. I know that's the hard part, you know, and I get it. But having rodeos and having bull ridings that you're going to, it keeps you away from going to the freestyles every weekend. But when you do get there, you always do put out 100% effort. And that's one thing I've always respected about you. But I hope your summer run goes great. Hope that PBR keeps calling. So.
Hey, I appreciate it. Me too.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get you back here to Fort Worth, man. I'm trying to get Jeremy back too. We got to get y'all out here on the boat, man. I'm gonna brag about it for a minute. That was my Memorial Day weekend. 3 days on a boat out here, little off the chain. My pictures on Facebook, I think, say it all.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right on.
Yeah, rub it in a little bit. Well, Noah, we do appreciate you calling, man. We'd love to have you on here again. It's so much we covered a lot, but man, it's still always so much we can talk about with bullfighting. And so if you ever want to check in, you're on the road, man, we do this every Tuesday night. So if you I'll hit you up or whatever, but you ever want to jump back on, we'd love to have you. You don't even have to stay the whole time. Just check in with us. Tell us where you're at. Tell us what's going on. And, man, we're like family here, so we love to keep up with everybody.
Right on. I appreciate you guys, and I'm all for it. So we'll talk soon.
In for man. We
Definitely.
Appreciate you. Everybody, Noah Kreps, one of the great freestyle bullfighters, great protection bullfighters, one of the guests for tonight. And Scott, I appreciate you getting him. We made a great show with Noah Kreps. So, man, we sure appreciate him joining us.
Yeah, you bet, man. Safe travels, Noah.
Hey, y'all too. Appreciate you guys.
All right, man. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Sounds good.
All right, man. I got to tell you, Jeremy, that was a lot of fun catching up with a guy like him. You know, great, great bullfighter, real ambitious, and like you said, man, he drives out there every day just to be the best he can be. And it shows. It shows in that arena, whether he's protecting or he's doing freestyle bullfighting, man. It doesn't make a difference. He knows how to get it done.
I've said it before, man. Noah's one of the good guys. And I feel like everybody in the sport's a good guy. I've said that too. But there's guys that you really pull for, you really want to see succeed. And, man, I look back even to early protection matches that I was going to at Guthrie, Oklahoma. I remember seeing Noah there, and Noah's a lot younger than me. But he's always been nice, always been friendly. And then we start hanging out with some of the same people. You kind of become mutual friends. So that when you do run into each other in places, you feel like you know him. You feel like it's an instant connection there. Noah actually went and covered for a buddy of mine at Swainsboro when that bullfight there, he didn't advance. One of my friends had got hurt at a bull riding. So we sent Noah to go take care of a bull riding there. And just that kind of guy, man, do anything for somebody in need. Just a good dude. And I hope if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed it. Look him up, Noah Krepp. Give him a follow. Give him a like, whatever you got to do. But just a great, great dude. And hey, Scott, I'm glad we had him.
Yeah, man, absolutely, brother. Well, listen, dude, I think we're about wrapped up here on a Tuesday night, my friend. And, man, I got to tell you, as always, it's fun to be able to sit back and talk some rodeo, some bullfighting, and just talk cowboy with you, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been fun. It just keeps getting more fun. We keep having guests on and all that, and, man, it just makes for a fun night. I'm glad we're doing it. I think he'd be proud of us. I'll just say that much. You know, I feel like he'd still be proud of the Ross Hill Hour. So I'm glad we're doing it.
That's
Let's
right.
keep it rolling. You know, I'll try to get us another guest for next week. You took care of this week, so I'll see what I can do.
You're
for
right,
next
my
week.
Friend.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey,
it's on you. It's on you next week. All right, buddy.
Yeah,
well, listen,
out.
Man. I hope you have a great week and a safe weekend, man. And get out there and enjoy it. I know Thursday night I'll be at the Cowboy Showcase, the PBR Showcase here at the Cowtown
yep.
Coliseum again, and get to watch some good bull riding and some great bullfighters step out there and do their job, man. It makes for a long night when they're bucking 40, 50 bulls, you know, but they know how to get it done.
No doubt. Well, I appreciate you, Scott, and you have a good week. You have a good Thursday night there also. Amber Blanchard, if you're listening, we appreciate you. Hopefully you can join us one
Love
night,
you,
too.
Girl.
Yeah,
That's
we're
right.
I'm glad to be here, glad to get another one down. But if you're listening, Ross Hill Memorial Hour, we'll be back next week, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. You give us a call, give us a listen. We sure appreciate you. Scott, I appreciate
we'll
it, and we'll close it out.
Absolutely, man. See you next week, buddy. Y'all have a good one, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
You too, brother.
Wild horses and honky-tonking bars drive the man to chase gold buckles and guitars. I don't do it for the money. I can't blame the fame. It's been a long, hard ride. Still, I saddle up just the same. I'm rolling right along, sky above is blue. I got the winter rolled down and I'm listening to Chris LeDoux. Half a can of caffeine running through my veins. Riding rain or shine and I'm never pulling back the reins. Now you may not see me on your TV. I'm seldom heard on your radio. But if you're looking, you might just find me somewhere between the road and the rodeo.